A gente sabe que relacionamentos são cheios de altos e baixos, mas poucas coisas nos preparam para a montanha russa, que pode ser, né, a nível emocional, a separação ou o divórcio. É como se, de repente, o chão sumisse de debaixo dos nossos pés e o mundo que conhecíamos se desfaz em vários pedacinhos. Essa experiência, muitas vezes, é devastadora. Ela atinge a alma e pode, sim, nos deixar doentes, de tristeza, perdidos em tanta confusão. Eu mesma já passei por essa experiência e já atendi dezenas de pessoas que sofreram com o divórcio. Frases como, meu coração está em pedaços, sinto uma dor terrível, é uma frustração muito grande, ou minha autoestima está em cacos, não vejo mais uma vida à minha frente, a minha vida estava toda planejada ao lado dessa pessoa, não sei por onde recomeçar, não sei como me recompor, o que eu faço com os filhos? São tantas perguntas. E quem já passou por isso sabe, a dor interna só a gente entende. Mas não precisa ser tão difícil assim. A psicologia tem aí algumas sugestões que podem fazer dessa fase uma fase bem mais fácil de atravessar. Bora comigo até o final desse podcast que você vai entender.
Moving into options with regards to the technology, we have to lab, and so we will be now timetabling on this timetable a food and nutrition lesson, one lesson per week, and I'll be led by the PE department, and the aim is to actually marry up the EEK's food and nutrition to a healthy lifestyle element of the curriculum. So we're really excited that we're able to start that provision with parentheses going into year seven. They're very good, a standard lesson. They have five lessons of English per week, five lessons of maths per week. So they have a lesson of English and maths every day. So in terms of, again, the familiar, they will be very familiar with the literacy and numeracy focus every day from year six. We're really pleased that carries on into year seven. They have a lot of contact time with both English and maths. There are four lessons of science per week, which again, it's a really good grounding in science. And they move into history and geography, where they will have two lessons per week, music, art, drama, PE, games, swimming, MFL, food, and computer science. They'll have one lesson per week. And MSc enrichment, which is obviously a big part of the curriculum as well. So we'll be talking towards the end of the presentation about how their school day will actually look. We also don't share timetables right now, particularly, but you'll see the school day. They have tutor time at the end of every day, which is really nice for a touch base with the students at the end of the day with their tutor, how far they've gone, time to communicate any issues that may have come up during the day. So these are the subjects that students will study in year seven. Again, quite similar to what they will have experienced in year six and in the junior school. This term, all of the senior school departments have been involved in a curriculum review. They've been looking at the topics that they're teaching, the sequencing of their teaching. We're really lucky in all three schools. The conversations, of course, happen with transition with year five and six and into seven topics that they have already and will be familiar with to then build on that. So students don't come into year seven feeling like they're doing the same topics again. So all departments have undertaken that curriculum review this term. They were looking at the topics that they teach. The sequencing of them is particularly important. So in understanding how students learn and understanding that they only will know what is familiar to them. And so learning must build on their prior learning. That prior learning must be embedded in order for them to then move on. And so in departments, they've been working on what we call a spiral curriculum, which draws back the skills that they'll need once they get to the end of Key Stage 4 for their external exams at GCSE. But it isn't just about the exams, of course, that's very, very important. But the aim of the exam, any exam, is to try to assess whether a student has become proficient in that subject. And so the best way to think about it is proficiencies in the subject. So when you spiral back in history, what makes a good historian is their ability to argue cause and consequence, is their ability to see and analyse the source. They are skills that they will need to be able to do should they decide to do GCSE history, but they are also skills that a proficient historian would be able to do. And so the departments are spiral back their curriculum to expose students from year seven and of course in junior school too how they can build on those skills to get them ready for Key Stage 4 and hopefully into Key Stage 5 when they begin their A-level options as well. So the curriculum is, you know, designed in such a way that they are becoming proficient in the skills they need to move through into Year 7, Year 8, Year 9, and onto their examination years. And of course, it's focused on the acquisition of skills and knowledge, which opens up the opportunities at Key Stage 4. So we have redone all of our curriculum maps. These will be familiar to you from the junior school. I really hope this QR code works. It's one of these moments where you will scan it. And it does work here as well. I've tested it a number of times, so I really hope that it does. And again, we'll be sharing this presentation in the newsletter, so please don't feel if it's not
scanning.
Have
multiple scans at the same time.
Yeah, you don't have to write anything down, it will be shared with you. We're getting a document.
Hooray.
That's actually the first time QR code ever works for me, so progress. Yeah. So please, this is very detailed, okay? I think it's about 27 pages long, so it's certainly not for, you know, for reading now. But what this shows you is term by term through the year what your child will study in each of the subjects on offer in the senior school. You know, as a parent, particularly as students move through the senior school, getting information out of your children can become a little bit more difficult, I would say. What are we doing at school? You know, it's all going fine. Everything's fine until it's not fine. You know, it's very binary, isn't it? It's fine and then it's not fine. But how can we support them in actually what they're studying in their subject? You know, if they are struggling in English, in maths, in science, whatever subject it might be, what the curriculum maps may help for you as a parent to see, as you know exactly what they're studying at that time. What we've added into the curriculum maps as well, which I think is really, really important for parents to see, for students to see, but also as teachers for us to be cognitive of, is how does each topic build on prior learning? So what is it you would expect your child to be able to now do that's then unlocked in term two and then unlocked further in term three? So hopefully those curriculum maps are helpful in giving you an understanding of what's going on in each lesson. And you know, if there's anything in FKM something, please do let us know. This has been the sort of body of work that we've been doing this term to make this information much more accessible for parents. So you can see we used to share them term by term, but I think the annual overview helps you to see how that learning sequence and how it builds on from term one to term three. But please don't feel like we can't put this down. This will be shared in the Year 6 newsletter, this whole presentation. So I just wanted to drill down on the core curriculum to give you a sense of, again, how it's built. So the Key Stage 3 curriculum in all of our subjects is, of course, spiralled back from GCSE and the skills that they will need to do. But in GCSE English, ultimately they'll be assessed on prose, drama, non-fiction and poetry, you know, the four aspects of their English exam. But again, to really emphasise the point, the exams are really important, but also what would you expect students to be studying in English are these sort of core competencies, which is what the exam will eventually assess. And so what the curriculum then does is it's broken into four parts for each year group, Year 7, 8 and 9, and they focus on those four skills. So in Year 7, students start with prose, they start with Bone Sparrow, then they move into Shakespeare, they do Julius Caesar, then non-fiction is Leaders of Tomorrow, and then they move on to the poetry section. And the curriculum maps are just more detailed versions of this. So you can see exactly what they're studying, the key content, how they're going to be assessed at the end. Similarly with maths, you will be familiar with White Rose. So one of the ways in which the transition into senior school becomes more familiar than unfamiliar is that the maths department can also teach the White Rose curriculum. There's been, again, a lot of work between both junior and senior school with ensuring that transition is as seamless as it can be, build on their prior learning. And so sometimes students will say, I've already done algebra, like as if it's something that gets done, you know, you tick it off. What they will do as they move through their learning is it becomes, of course, progressively more challenging. And so they're using their understanding from Year 6, they have an introduction to algebra, function machines and substitution, which is then built in Year 7 into algebraic thinking, algebraic technique, and then reasoning with algebra as they move into Year 9. And so this is what I mean by the spiral curriculum. Students will come back to topics as they move through Key Stage 3 and 4, so that they are then, you know, they're building on their prior knowledge. It's not unfamiliar, and the more they're exposed to it, the better they become at it, and that sort of habitual learning. We are really excited that I know Miss Baker has had some conversations with parents in Year 6 about our maths provision and some of the possibilities that we may have in the curriculum from August. So we are going to offer an accelerated maths group. So teaching in maths is setted, teaching in English is setted. So the top set in maths will have the opportunity to complete a GCSE early. So the plan would be that they would do their GCSE coverage in year 7, year 8 and year 9, and they would sit their GCSE at the end of year 9. They would then do a further maths GCSE that they would carry on from into year 10, the whole of year 10, the first part of year 11, and they would sit their further maths GCSE in the November of year 11. And for the remaining months in year 11, they would cover the statistics module or statistics specification, and they would do the statistics GCSE in the June of year 11. So they would leave in year 11 with three maths qualifications. Now, just a few caveats to this. Sitting GCSEs early is not for, you know, every child. Universities don't know that a student would have sit it necessarily early. It is, you know, you want a student to try to get their best possible grade. And for many students, that will be that they do the traditional 5 years and then they do their GCSE at the end. If they are a student who would like to move into maths, maybe at A-level and onto university, they don't have to have two extra qualifications in maths either. Okay, so we will, as students come in August, Miss Bacon will be liaising with parents, talking with you about how this will look. The plan is that students will do a baseline assessment, they do already in maths, to determine the set of groups, which would then determine the top set and the plan for an accelerated group. What we may see with that accelerated group is that there are a number of students who we think are capable of doing that. And so whilst we have a limiting class size of 24, it may be that it's appropriate that class size between 25 and 26, dependent on what we think in terms of their, you know, capability of being on that accelerated programme. But this is something new that we're offering. We think it's really, really exciting that they have the opportunity to do it. But I think it's really important as parents, you know, that universities don't know they're sat something early. It's not for every child, you know, and it's, you know, we are looking for that accelerated programme for those students who may be able to push particularly their proficiency in maths. But there will be lots of communication about how that's going to work and what it's going to look like for your child as we start the new academic year. We are very excited at least opportunities to begin to put this in place for students for whom we think it, you know, it's definitely an option for them. And finally, in terms of core subjects, is science. So again, very similar to what you're seeing in English and maths. They are exposed to the sort of key skills in science, and as they move through their Key Stage 3 curriculum and into Key Stage 4. So I thought it was helpful to talk a little bit about what teaching and learning looks like in the senior school and what a student would expect in terms of their daily diet of being in lessons, so to speak. Again, probably not too dissimilar from what they experience in year 6 and in the junior school, but I think as parents it gives you a sense of, you know, what is it you would expect to see in a lesson. Routines are very important for students. They get, you know, we all thrive on routine. Knowing exactly how the lesson's going to be and how it's going to look really, really helps all the students. There's a really strong message of inclusivity with it too. And when they come into the room, all of our lessons will start with a do now task. And that do now task will often be focused on retrieval practice, but not always. So the idea of retrieval practice is it enables students to remember more and know more, because they have to be able to remember that prior learning to move into, to unlock deeper learning. And so if they, you know, always say to students, there are certain elements of what you just need to know it, right? So you shouldn't be sitting in an exam thinking, what was that so in history? What was the day of that act again? You know, that should just come because you've done it so many times. And then that allows you to then move into the more analytical, more evaluative skills. Do now tasks aren't always retrieval practice, but it should be a learning do now task. So we don't have sort of the do now task is writing learning objectives down. That's not learning. So the do now task is a thinking task. It's something that students will have to do to have to think about what the lesson's going to be about, which would connect last lesson to what they're going to learn this lesson. And it allows for students to move key knowledge into long-term memory to enable students to acquire new knowledge more easily. So there's been a lot of scientific research about their working memory, about cognitive